Well, thank you, dear brethren. The title of our talk today is Thy Face, Lord, and it comes from Psalm 27:8. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Most of us learn to trust our fathers and mothers first of all. However, this lesson is about trusting God most of all. This is also a lesson about admitting to our faults and our need to be helped with each failure. Additionally, it's a lesson regarding God's instruction and its simplicity and power for good, as well as it is a lesson about becoming of one heart with the Heavenly Father and delighting in doing His will, that perchance He would delight in us. Indeed, this is most assuredly a lesson of love and belonging in God's heavenly family. And we wouldn't be here with Him if He didn't already delight in us. So we've grouped the lesson into seven parts. Part one, seek His face. When the psalmist poetically writes of the Lord inviting us to seek His face, it is painting the picture of God's work in our hearts. Psalm 51:10 says, Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 10, verse 17 says, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. And Psalm 27:14 says, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. As when we first believed, drawn and called of God, we came with nothing that we deemed worthy in comparison to what we had our eyes opened to see. We approached with the only thing our faith could find to give, our humbled hearts. Simple, complete, willing to be led of God no matter where or what the cost in self-denial. This the Lord could work with, this and thus only. Now, by now we've learned that learning all about the Lord, wanting to be near Him, wanting to be more acceptable to Him, that's meant listening to Him by looking at the words and the leaves of the Bible, where page after page opens up new vistas and we find more and more things revealed in our day-to-day lives too. Experiences that are trials and blessings, wonderful recollections of promises we've read a dozen times and seven times that. Then suddenly becoming a beacon, a wonderful, piercing song note that we hadn't heard before. And it's so very beautiful. We've been given a secret tap on the shoulder, a whisper of angels, a golden token of God's love, because we did our part to love God by doing more than reading the big black puzzle book. No, we are reading His epic love letter, and we must every day. Prophecies, sure. Pictures and prayers, yes. Precepts and promises, absolutely essential to both know the will of God and to know He knows us, plans our day, so what would be best for our character to develop, and yes, those personal golden tokens of His love. These are things that would otherwise go unnoticed had we not kept very close watch of His word, praying often, keeping our heart knit together with the brethren, and then finding things that were not mere coincidental. The white stone, for instance, of Revelation 2:17. Do you remember that? It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." So, seeking the face of the Lord, or as our golden text puts it, "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek," is a commitment to seek His will and His favor until we understand His will and found favor with Him. Once we've gained this awareness, we will have come to know that very next day it starts all over again. All over again. That is, as the hymn states it, "Here there is no rest. There is no rest." Because it is a race set before us, and without all diligence, we will fail to make our calling and election sure. So there's no doubt that the 11 disciples loved Jesus, and Paul a little later too. But when he brought a few especially close the night of his betrayal, their energy, their zeal, their sympathy all fell short of stirring them to alertness. Recall it in Matthew 26, 40 and 41. "And he cometh unto the disciples, and finding them asleep, and saith unto them, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." The lesson of keeping ourselves in the love of God, always carrying about the dying of our Lord Jesus, is this lesson regarding seeking the face of the Lord. Reprint 52:12 says, quote, "We should study the scriptures bearing on any subject, trying to find the underlying principle of God's teachings, then commit all to the Father in prayer, asking Him to guide both the reason and the judgment. Then use that reason and judgment to the best of our ability." So to seek the face of the Lord, what would be the obstacles? And how must we overcome these to keep ourselves ever before Him? When we look at the meaning of looking at the Heavenly Father's face, there are two considerations. First, that having the Lord's face towards us is to have His favor. And second, longing to see the Lord face to face is synonymous with our staying in His favor, a constancy of blessing and of grace, fully engaged in doing His will with delight. That the first premise of having the Lord's face towards us is not literal, we cite the following passage from Exodus 33, a conversation between, as you recall, between Moses and God, 33, 18, 19, 20. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." In verse 21 through 23, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." So as we stated, having the Lord's face towards us is to have his favor, not literally his face to our weak fleshly one. It wasn't only the Heavenly Father's power, though wonderful in his word and seen in our lives. It wasn't merely his wisdom, which is so much beyond human comprehension. And nor even his justice, which bends not, but shows his unswerving dependability, but seeing more and more that it is God's love, that he is love, and that he is thus showing us his true face that defines what our hearts are after when they truly seek to see his face. It's a special favor to be called of God, the begotten of his Holy Spirit, but also to know this promised connection with our Lord Jesus, who likewise showed us the ultimate compassion on and for us by giving his life for us. This is the one that promised in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The consideration, the seeing of the Lord's face to face in glory, of course, we'll take up another time, perhaps, when we know even as we are known, even just beyond the veil. It is the favor of the Lord in the present time, in the present life, the seeking of his face of favor that we are going to consider right now. So in John 6, verses 45 and 46, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father." And thus we see the Father in Jesus. Jesus told the disciples and us that the words that he spoke were life-giving words and the very words promised by God for their instruction. Now the prophet Isaiah reminds us and gives the whole world hope beyond their previous poor choices. And it says, Isaiah 55:6-7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You see, seeking the Lord for all his wonderful benefits, especially for his love, will be the pinnacle of awareness for the world to come. For they cannot just now believe that the Lord could appear in a locked room to persuade a doubting Thomas. You'll find that in John 20, verse 19. Because they will need to also to see the face of the Lord personally in his loving works of redemption soon to come upon them, and eventually see what is developing in our hearts right now, today. But by then, perfectly full, perfected fully. Psalm let's move on to part two. Request for the Lord to not hide his face. You know, from early on, those living closest to the Lord were concerned that the Lord would not turn his face of favor away from them. We'll see that in Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 13 and 14. "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." excuse me. Cain was a murderer and grew out of the bitterest of fruits: anger, malice, envy, jealousy. But were there redeemable qualities in him? Indeed, for he wanted God's favor and was heartbroken that he would lose it. His first concern after the Lord pronounced his punishment was the loss of the face of the Lord. Too late did this come into this broken reasoning of his. And what lesson is this for us right now today? Most of the troubling experiences of mankind have been of their own making. Though the Lord could and did help some by giving them favor and overruling their lives for good. Israel had plagues of deliverance, for instance, and they had manna to eat and water from the rock, and they had help in entering into the land of promise, and when they looked to the Lord and trusted in him, they were victorious and they conquered. But when they turned away from him, his favor ceased because they turned to their own ways and to gods that were no gods. So God turned his face from them. You'll see this in Deuteronomy 31, starting with verse 15, but we'll read from verse 16 to 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I surely will hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they have turned unto other gods. So the psalmist knew of his life that it had no happiness, no meaning, no peace without the face of God for his errors. And he writes about this in part in Psalm 13:1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? See, prior to King David, King Saul was even more egregious, disobeying the commandment of God to destroy all of an enemy. But Saul kept the choicest, blamed not himself but the people for wanting to take these as spoil, and that offering of the unauthorized sacrifice, basically doing his own will contrary throughout, no remorse, and transferring his errors upon others. So Samuel called out Saul on his evil doings and excuses, and we find this in 1 Samuel 15:14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? The lesson is more than simply a horrific gasp for such an arrangement Saul was misguidedly working under. It's a reminder to us to not allow bitter fruit to bud and blossom and flower in our hearts. We are never to compromise our hearts, but quickly to flee the fire of wayward thinking or actions that would invade us like so many ninjas of Satan. Never would we want our course to hide us from our Father's face. Never. Never, ever. Is he not love? Is his love not far in excess of any weaker or aberrant loves that would feed our baser elements? Indeed, and indeed. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. But don't stop there. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let the Lord guide us, not us guide the Lord. First taste, then let the wafting fragrance tell us more of his loving kindness. Then see the plan and how it will be for all the families of the earth. every person at the supermarket, every person who we've crossed paths with or heard about in the news, did comprehend or try to comprehend how all the goodness of the Lord's plan to teach every heart about love and about how to become it is prototyped in us, and what we do, brethren, what we do today. In part three, we call Ask for His Help. Ask for His Help. Though we know to seek His face, and though we make our request for the Lord to not hide His face from us, we also need to understand that these two steps of seeking Him and asking that our view of Him not be disturbed still lacks our deeper need to have His help in sustaining our part in looking to Him who now understands and stands before us. Consider what the prophet says in Isaiah 64, verses 6 through 8. But we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Ah, yes. To make or take hold of this view of God and see His vista in all creation filled with His love. This understanding of His plan and purpose for mankind, an invitation to you and to me, specifically and personally. Plus, how this work in us is significant to the whole. All this must start in the humus, the humbleness of our willingness to be led of God, clay in His hands, detailed by His fingers, as we see that He views us as the apple of His eye. What a face to reflect upon and be privileged to thus see His face. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Already the great potter is forming such a heart so willingly splayed out on His wheel, turning and touching, turning and forming this and that character to conform to His design of love. Psalm 119:135. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant, and teach me Thy statutes of love. Why would He do this for us and in us? Have we been so long with Jesus and we don't know or see the Father? Psalm 31, verse 16. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me in Thy loving kindness. His loving kindness. Yes, how sweet. We want to be that same loving kindness that is in Him. We cannot help it, because it is His fingers that have formed us, touching especially our hearts to so desire. And this very humility of spirit is the lesson taught by Christ when he warned in Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face," that is, have access to the presence of, "my Father which is in heaven." So imagine, access to the presence of Jesus' Father, through Jesus, of course, God's only begotten Son. And we are begotten by God, personally invited and revealed the hidden way, like a gate in a thicket, which is momentarily brushed aside, and where he simply whispers, "Barbara, Evelyn, Betty, this is the way, walk ye in it." And he continues to whisper the same today. But each day he gives us celestial hearing aids called promises, which we find best described now as exceedingly great and precious. Notes of a lyric he sweetly sings in the heart, your heart. Psalm 86:12. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart." Part 4. Recognize God as our salvation. Recognize God as our salvation. Because it is not merely a good feeling that we look for or from God, but much more. For in him we recognize our salvation. Isaiah 50, verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." You know, many are ashamed of God, but their hearts are foolish, and they're darkened for now. But soon they will be unfooled, and the light of the glorious gospel of God, of his face, will now be turning back to them in the precious sending again of his Son, Jesus, now highly exalted, but every bit as kind and loving to whomsoever will come to him. You know, the foolish now are mostly temporarily foolish, just for a season, as it were. They're very skeptical because the repeating lies of the dark prince of this evil world. You know, his lies were meant to feign God's plan, to fake it with deficits and hollowness, and create the kind of a stirring panic of a very troubled world. Now it's called a time of trouble, such as has never been seen before. But Psalm 30, verse 7, "Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." So here King David thus acknowledged that his mountain, his kingdom, was prosperous only when the Lord's face of favor was towards it. And in one of the grandest declarations, we have the instruction to all hearts who earnestly desire to glorify God. And if there be no other scripture you can recall after this hour, perhaps this one that you can endeavor to make stay in your heart and in your determination, this would be the one. Psalm 105, verses 3 through 5. Glory ye, in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Yes, remember his marvelous works, his wonders. Yes, those Ebenezers, those golden tokens are the fuel to propel our ardent desire to daily and forevermore seek the Lord and find Him and find in Him our needed strength. Seeking or seeing the face of God as our salvation is further indicated in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. And it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me, before thee." Who is this messenger? It's us, the church, who proclaim Christ. Hebrews 9:24, "For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like the pattern of, to the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us. He presented the merit of his sacrifice to make an atonement for the church class." That's the antitype of Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. In John 1:14, it reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Titus 3:7, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So if we do not allow the divine influence upon our hearts, that is grace, God's grace, to work in our hearts, we will not be recipients of God's face of favor through the provision of Christ Jesus. But we are not of those who hold back, but of those who recognize that the Lord is our salvation. Let's move on to part five, which we call Trust Most in God. And there's a psalm, Psalm 89:14, that says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thy face." So there is a commitment to seek and continually behold the face of God. And we trust you've now become aware of that. But the quality of that face of favor is also very important to understand. The psalm that we just read, 89:14, speaks of loving kindness and truth going before his face. This is the necessary blue and red of character and doctrine that gains us the higher quality of purposeful alignment, nay, of submission to God's way, and joy in the royal law that is seen in his face. We may read it in his psalm, but unless our heart is totally committed, we will remain blind to this realization. Let's read from Psalm 119:58. "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." This face of God, this face of loving kindness and truth, is promised to us as all the good things that he awaits for us to walk in a way that he can give them to us. Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." There's a, I'm going to paraphrase, this isn't a quote directly, but I'm going to paraphrase reprint 3891, which kind of has a question: what do we know without faith? We have inquired of some as to why they believe in God's divine plan yet fail to go on to make full consecration. So what this article is about. Invariably, the response is one of little faith, delighting to think on the restored earth and satisfied themselves with picturing of what that already what they have already come to approximate with their natural eye. Only they know will be better, better hearts of others then. But they fail to wait in their judgment. They fail to leave the coming blessings in the hands of the Lord with assurance that him whom we have not seen, as the scripture says, with our natural eyes, yet believing, we owe and grow our love. And thus, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So it is more than faith that builds our trust in God. It is our love for him too. Part 6, we're labeling need his training to be taught by him. And we're looking at Exodus 3:6, and remember that's where Moses hides his face. And we ask the question here, do we hide our face? So what is the difference, the action that takes place in the heart, which percolates through the life and bubbles up to tweak or dimple the smile, radiate its silent inflections to show the grace of heaven, really, bringing expression to every facial contour in the effort to tell wondrous things as angels sent before God and convey with such happifying demeanor the riches of that foreign but beautiful message divine as seen in Brother Stephen in Acts 6:15. And all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Yes, we want that instruction from on high. We need that more than our necessary food. We need divine providence to make alive the word and bring it to remembrance and bring its remembrance in its remembrance, its hidden lessons, and see how they are becoming the catalyst of our transformation. We need his training. Indeed, we do. And it makes glad the people of God, changing not only our hearts, but manifests it in the face and the smile as inquirers ask the reason for the hope that is in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. With no intervening veil of prejudice or fear or superstition, but with the simplicity of heart and mind. This is how the pastor puts it in reprint 3656. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 4:16 reads, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Remember the Strong's Dictionary on Grace, what it says. It says, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. God, saith our scripture, can have more influence upon our hearts, reflecting it in our lives. He abounds in grace, and we receive of his fullness. We have need of such holiness, because we have so little without it, without him. So he grants us an increase of his Spirit as we demonstrate use of that which he has already previously given to us, previously that we received of him. So now that's grace upon grace. And the Heavenly Father provided our access to his grace by giving his Son to save us. Jesus is become the door. All that we have so far
all that we've become is by the grace of God working in our hearts, a saving grace of faith gifted to us by God. Our part is to seek His grace or favor, this divine influence upon our hearts, so that an abundance of faith and love may continue to grow by His grace. The words of our mouths have become more and more of blessing, no doubt, giving off the fragrance of the rose, whom we seek to spend time with. Having access to God is to have access to the throne of grace, prayer before God Himself. Indeed, we only thus may rely on finding grace to help in every time of need if we do so. Most of all, access to this grace is only granted, get this, beloved, only granted to the humble. Only granted to the humble. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Two excellent questions summarize well the grandness of little us having God Almighty for us. What worry would we have of danger or of threat? Who could be against us? We need to have this intelligence ingrained within our every thought so that it becomes the reality where we live and where we dwell. Home is where our Father meets us. Home is where our Father meets us, our Heavenly Father meets us. Learning as we go is only as good as our determination to plant our feet where another has given us an example, within His, our Savior's footprints. This means we are to do all we can to keep ourselves from idols and temptation of any and every kind. Recall Hebrews 12:13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We may be thought as lame and dependent, it is true. I remember my father used to say that those that use the Bible are hiding behind it like a crutch. And that's probably true, because we all recognize how lame we really are. But we are not fit as Jesus was, for we are poor. We're weak on our own, limpers that are only able to keep this blessed way whilst we look to Jesus. When we listen to the Lord as He outlines the heart, it requires to follow Him, as in Matthew 5, notice the very first essential is humility. Matthew 5:3. How blessed are those who are destitute in spirit, that is, humble, because the kingdom from heaven belongs to them. And though all the steps of heart-changing likeness to Jesus are required in all the finally faithful, also notice the reward for keeping our heart with all diligence, purity of heart. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that is our goal today, to see God and to see Him this very day. Are we seeing Him in our brethren today? Have we found Him in our prayer this morning? Or revealing His wonders maybe in the manna that you read this morning? He will show us the blessings of His covenant way. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, There it is, right there. No love. So just knowing is not as important, because the knowledge is to build all around it the superstructure to finally reveal the divine plan as it changes our hearts. But we need all the instruction to gain this actualizing awareness in finally emulating God. Part 7. Mark out a path of God's choosing, away from the enemies, towards coming blessings. So, once again, mark out a path of God's choosing, away from enemies, but towards coming blessings. Mark out a path. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, having then attained our own actual righteousness, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Acts 3:19. Therefore repent and convert, for the blotting out of your sins again, that is, having then attained our own actual righteousness, so that the times of refreshing may come from the face of the Lord. So out from the face of, as a mark of his favor. You might see the reference on second volume, page 188. Out from the face of, prosopon. We recall another face-to-face future encounter is 1 Corinthians 13:12-13. For now we see through the mirror darkly, but then face-to-face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. We shall see clearly, for we shall then be like our Lord, filled with love. Reprint 5804. And finally, Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. So, in conclusion, brethren, we'd like to read a little poem from reprint 4893 called, appropriately for our title, Show Me Thy Face. Show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love than thine. All lesser lights will darken quite, all lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again. Show me thy face, my faith and love shall henceforth fixed be, and nothing here have power to move my soul's serenity. My life shall seem a trance, a dream, and all I feel and see, elusive, visionary, thou, the one reality. Show me thy face, I shall forget the weary days of yore. The fretting ghosts of vain regret shall haunt my soul no more. All doubts and fears for future years in quiet trust subside, and naught but blessed, content and calm within my breast abide. Show me thy face, the heaviest cross will then seem light to bear. There will be gain in every loss, and peace with every care. With such light feet, the year will fleet. Life will seem bright as blessed, till I have laid my burden down and entered into rest. Show me thy face, and I shall be in heart and mind renewed, with wisdom, grace, and energy to work thy work endued. Shine clear, though pale, behold the veil, until the veil removed, in perfect glory I behold the face that I have loved. This last stanza was in the original back in 1891 in the Songs of the Church from London. And finally, reprint 6001, Pastor Russell's Last Days. This was by Meta Sturgeon, a brother. Finally, he said, I must say goodbye to you all and give you a text for your remembrance. Numbers 6:24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord's blessing be with you richly. Psalm 67:1. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Pause and consider. May the Lord add his blessing.